So Andy started us off last week of our new series in the book of John, and today we're in our second session, thinking about him and not me. And where's Matt gone? So Matt, thank you for that encouragement for us to pray out. I think we need to do more of that, and some of that theme is going to come out a little bit today, because I think we've just sung about here is love vast as the ocean. If that's true, and I totally believe that it is, that's going to impact our life, isn't it? We're going to feel that the ocean of God's love upon us, and that's got to come out, hasn't it? That's got to come out of us in some way. So thank you for the encouragement of that, and there'll be another encouragement as to kind of how we can share that in a moment or two. But thinking about today, do you ever have those times where there are just way too many people all with the same name? Dave has been a common name here, hasn't it, for a long time. Too many Daves. Sometimes it's Matt. It can be a lot of Matts. Never yet for me more than one Gilla in my life. I'm sure that will probably remain that way. Are there more Gillas in Belgium, Gilla?
Probably.
Have you ever met another one? No, okay. But here we have, the name is John. We've got lots of Johns. For the writer is John, and we're now going to read about another John. And this John is John the Baptist, okay? So Gospel of John, written by John, but the John we're going to think about today is John the Baptist, okay? So try and keep up with your Johns, all right? John chapter 1, verse 6 to 51 is what we're going to read from this morning, okay? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him, and he cried out, saying, "This is the one that I spoke about when I said, 'He comes after me, who has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we've all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Now this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees had been sent and questioned him, why do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one that I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked them, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, and he had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We've found the Messiah," that is the Christ. "We've brought him to Jesus." Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, and you'll be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." So Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Well, come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, but you will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Okay, lots in there. We'll try and pick up a lot of these thoughts, but maybe not all of them. So John the Baptist is part of the Christmas story, okay? I think Oasis Camp this summer has a Christmas theme. There'll be Christmas trees and Santa hats in the middle of August. But on a sunny day in June, we're hearing about John the Baptist, who is part of the Christmas story. His parents are Zechariah and Elizabeth. You can read all about it in Luke chapter 1. His parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, had never had any children. Elizabeth had never been able to have children, and they were now quite elderly. And so their getting pregnant was a miracle, maybe just not the biggest miracle pregnancy of their time. Elizabeth and Mary, as we know, were related. They were related to one another, and they would have shared their stories of their miracle pregnancies. It says that when these two pregnant women met, it says that John kind of skipped about in the womb. So we have two babies, two boys, both conceived in miraculous circumstances. Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist conceived by the miracle to an elderly couple who had never previously been able to have children. John is skipping in the womb at being in the presence of Jesus. I wonder maybe whether we should be more physically excited in the presence of Jesus. I'll let you ponder that one this afternoon. But Matthew chapter 3 tells us that then John grew up. And he grew up as what we might describe as an eccentric. He grew up in the mountains. He wore clothes made of camel's hair fastened with a leather belt, famously living on a diet of locusts and wild honey. I can't imagine anybody being asked the question tonight, what's for tea, locusts and wild honey? But that was what John the Baptist ate. He was not interested in conforming to the pattern of the world, but he only was interested in the work of the kingdom of God. Many people went out to John from Jerusalem. They confessed their sins to him. They got baptized by him. John himself gained many disciples, people that followed him and were interested in what he had to say. But he was only interested in pointing people to Jesus. He had one task. There's Jesus. Look at him. Listen to him. This was his task. As one sent by God to speak of Jesus, he is not the light, but he's going to speak of the one that is. "I am not the Messiah," says John. Listen to him. He's the light of the world. Follow him. This, for me, has been one of the most difficult months of my life. The challenges of housing and of my health, for those that saw me stagger at a Sims Lane a few weeks ago, I'm feeling much better now. It's been particularly difficult set a few weeks. But the support of the church in that time has been incredible, a rich and a generous blessing and an affirmation, and we're very thankful for that. But yet, this is not about me. It's about Jesus. I am thankful for your trust and your friendship, your support, but I am not Jesus. Don't follow me, follow him. I am a sinner. I'm likely at some point, if I haven't already, to let you down. I don't want to, but I am just a frail man. I don't have the answers to anything. I don't have any great wisdom of my own. I have no insight that's going to be particularly of much use to you. But what I can do is what I must do, and that's to point you to Jesus. Look at Jesus. He's the light of the world. Look at Jesus. He's your Savior. Look at Jesus. He's the one to follow. Look at Jesus. It's him and not me. My wisdom is to point you to his. The only wisdom that I need is to say that I don't have any, but Jesus has all that you need. My insight is gained from time in the Word and what has been given to me, the discernment through the Spirit. But I am nothing without Jesus. I have nothing to offer you except him, except Jesus. John the Baptist modeled this perfectly for us, didn't he? I'm not the Messiah, don't follow me. He's the light of the world, it's not me. Follow Jesus, listen to Jesus. Go with him. He's the one. It's all about him. John was a witness to the light, as I am a witness to the light. If you are forgiven, if you are a Christian, then you too are a witness to the light. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that you will be my witnesses. You are every bit as much of a witness to Jesus as John the Baptist was and as I am. We are a witness to the one who put the world into being. You are a witness to the one who hung the stars in the sky. You are a witness to the one who is your light. You are a witness to your Savior. You are a witness to God himself. We are a witness like John the Baptist was. We then read that the world had rejected Jesus. The world was made by and through Jesus, but yet it rejected him. It didn't want to listen. The world didn't want to know. They had no interest in Jesus. They wanted to trip him up and accuse him and chase him, and we know ultimately nail him to a cross. All these years later, it's not much different, is it? It's not so different now. People will reject Jesus. And you can try as hard as you like to make him known, and some people will not get it. They will not listen. And they will not see it. Sometimes though we go, oh, it would be so different when I'm witnessing to my friend if only they could see Jesus. It would be so much easier if only they could see Jesus perform a miracle right in front of their very eyes. But even then, people didn't see it. Even then, people didn't believe it. But to those that trust Jesus, to those that put their hope in Jesus, to those that confess their sins and seek forgiveness in Jesus, well, then they will see the light and they will be called the children of God. They will be called the children of God. Children not by natural descent, nor by our own decision, but because God mercifully saves us. This really is all about Jesus. John's life was all about Jesus. Our salvation is all about Jesus. Our witnessing now to our friends and our family and our work colleagues is no different now to what it was all those years ago when Jesus walked the earth. They didn't believe then, and they don't so much like believing now. But some believed then and some will believe now. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. When Jesus came and dwelt among us, John was like, this is him. That's him. He's the one that I've been on about. He's the one that I've been telling you about. He's the one that I've been talking about. He's better than me. He's the best that there ever is. Don't look at me. Look at him. Look at him. Follow Jesus. I had to Google the year, but I soon found it. In 1993... I was 16 and I went to watch England under 18s play against the Netherlands. It was a football match. They were playing at the Bescot Stadium in Warsaw. It cost me a quid I went with my mates. I was happy as Larry. But what I saw that evening was amazing, because there was a young striker by the name of Robbie Fowler who played for Liverpool and evidently for the England under-18s. And he was brilliant. He scored a goal that night, and I went home and I told my dad all about this player I'd just seen called Robbie Fowler. So 2 days later, me and my dad went back to the Bescot Stadium to watch the next game. This night, Fowler scored a hat-trick. This kid was brilliant. Every time he touched the ball, it normally ended up in the back of the net. Why did I tell you that? I saw someone who was amazing. And so I went and told somebody else what I had seen, who then went to go and look for themselves at what they'd seen and realized that he was even better than I described him to be. This is like John the Baptist telling them about Jesus. John the Baptist knew that he was the Messiah, and so he told everyone that he'd met that Jesus was the best person that they could ever meet, that he was the light of the world. He was the savior of the world. They needed to go and see him. They needed to go and listen to him. They needed to go and follow him, because he's even better than he could ever describe. We need to tell everyone how amazing Jesus is. We need to tell everyone how good Jesus is. When Matt says, just shout out your praise to God, he's not doing that to fill a few moments of time in an order of service plan. He's saying, look, when you open your mouth and declare praise to Jesus, he is on it and he is glorified and he deserves that because he's amazing. But also what you are doing is when you open your mouth and you declare thanks and praise and honor to Jesus, the people around you are pointed to look at him too, because it's like, wow, he means so much to you. I'm going to praise him for what he has done for you. I'm going to look at him more because of what you see in him too. And so when we say, look, just shout out your praise, or maybe come and share something of what God has been doing in your life, it's not to fill time in a service, but it's to do as John the Baptist did here, to say, look, I have met somebody who is extraordinary, the light of the world, the savior of the world, the Messiah sent by God. I'm not even worthy to tie his laces. Go and look at him. Go listen to him. Go follow him. We do need to raise our voices and give testimony and affirmation and praise to the goodness of God and what he's done in our lives. Why? Because we're the witnesses to him. And so if we are who are the witnesses to Jesus, if we are not going to speak up and be those witnesses, well, we're still witnesses, but we're just not very good ones. Because in effect, what we're saying is that there's nothing to say about Jesus. Is that really the message that we want to give to one another, to the world? Jesus is not so extraordinary. He's done nothing in my life. He doesn't produce anything within me at all that makes me want to praise him or to speak of him or to tell everyone, anyone, how good he is. That isn't true, is it? That isn't true. So let's be like John the Baptist. Let's be like me as a 16-year-old wide-eyed saying, Robbie Fowler was amazing. You've got to go and watch him yourself. Jesus is extraordinary. Go look at him. Go listen to him. Jesus is extraordinary. Go follow him. We too need to tell everyone how good Jesus is. John says that Jesus is better because he came first. Now, John was born first. He's the eldest of these two relatives, but he's talking about eternity. And he's saying, look, in the beginning was Jesus. Andy unpacked this for us last week. In the beginning, there was Jesus. So Jesus came first. He came before us. He wasn't, his birthday's later than mine, says John, but he came first. He's always been there. It was always about him. He came first. In the beginning was Jesus. We saw that God wasn't named in the book of Esther, but yet we saw wonderfully how present he was all the way through that story, don't we? Jesus similarly doesn't get a mention by name in the Old Testament, but he's very much there all the way through. Read Colossians chapter 1 and see the supremacy of Christ in creation. We see his hands and his fingerprints all over it. Jesus has always been there. He's been there since the very beginning. The Jewish leaders, though, are confused. They're confused about John the Baptist. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the promised one. And yet he tells them quite clearly that he is not. It's not me, says John. It's him. It's not me. Indeed, all he really needs to tell them is that he is the one that's calling in them in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Make straight the way for the Lord in my life. Make straight the way for the Lord in Colin's life, in Jack's life, in Michelle's life. Make straight the way for the Lord to lead them, to bless them, to encourage them, to lift them up. Who I am is not important. Who I speak of is of great importance. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. The first youth camp I ever spoke on was a camp called Teen Scene. Do you know about that yet? Teen Scene, it was a group of churches from Cardiff. And I remember driving to this boarding school down on the south coast somewhere and unpacking my stuff and going, the bell went and it was mealtime. And I went down into the dining hall and I sat myself down at this table with a bunch of lads. And I said, something like, you all right? And they all got up off the table and left. Uttering the words, I'm not sitting by English. That week, they all got saved. Because it wasn't about me, it was about the one that I speak of. It isn't about us, it's about Jesus. We can't change lives, but Jesus can. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God saves people. The Lamb of God is a miracle-working God who breaks through every barrier that we can put in the way. He changes lives. So we need to be like John the Baptist to go, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. John's gospel doesn't have the baptism of Jesus, but we know that John baptized him. And when that happened is when the Spirit comes upon Jesus and says, look, it's him. This is when John saw that he was not just a relative, but he was the Messiah. It's Jesus who will baptize with the Spirit, he says. I've seen it, says John. I testify to it. I've seen it with my eyes. I saw the Spirit come upon him like a dove and rest upon him. I testify to it that Jesus, this guy, he's the Messiah. He's the one you've been waiting for. He's the one you've been hoping for. He's the one. He knows Jesus at this point, not just as a relative, but as the Messiah. And he tells his disciples, and they leave him and they follow Jesus. They tell others to follow Jesus. And yet more and more and more are invited to follow. There's a lot going on here in this first chapter of John's Gospel. Loads of detail. So please, at some point, find the time to read through it again. Go along to our home group, because there's some real jewels in here, some incredible details in this passage. For John is answering the questions that the skeptics were asking. And so if you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus and they're going, but what about this and what about that and what about that? Then dig yourself, immerse yourself in John's gospel, because he answers those questions that the skeptics ask. But at the same time, he's seeking to assure us and remind us and reassure us that Jesus is the one, that he really is the real deal. And I think this is the point that I really want to rest on this morning and to finish on is this, that Jesus is amazing. Jesus is extraordinary. I have not physically seen him. I don't know him by sight, but I know him by the sight of what he has done. I can see and I can testify to what Jesus has done. It's like the wind. I can't see the wind, but I can see what it does. So I can tell you if it's a windy day because I can see that the trees blowing in the wind. Jesus is amazing, the best person that you could ever meet. We can see the effect of Jesus and we can say, look, I've never seen Jesus, but I've seen him do this in the life of my friend. I've seen him do this in their life. I've seen him do this in their life. Do you know what? Last week, my friend stood up at church and told me that this is what God had done in their life that week. And they go, wow, I wish he'd do that in my life because that's just my same situation right now. Do you see the point I'm trying to make here? When we tell the stories of what God has done in our life, we can repeat those stories to somebody else. And we can testify to the power and the greatness of God. Jesus is amazing, the best person that you could ever, ever, ever meet. Don't come to church for my preaching or the worship because it's not about me and it's not about them. Don't come to church because your friends are here or just because you think that you should. Come to church for Jesus, for he is what it's about. He's the center of it all. And then bring your friends.
Go and then go and tell your friends, look, I've met the best person that I've ever met in my life. And his name is Jesus. I've met the best person to ever live. His name is Jesus. Go tell the world about the one who made the world. And for sure, you're going to go, well, not everyone's going to believe me. Not everyone's going to say yes. Not everyone is going to want to come, but some might. Some might. And you don't know who they will be. You don't know who they will be. So tell everyone. Tell everyone. Because you don't know who might follow. You don't know who might come. You don't know whose life might be changed. So tell everyone. The parable of the sower, where the farmer throws out the seed and he just throws it out, and some of it, you know the story, some of it lands on good soil, some of it lands amongst the weeds, some of it lands under the path. And sometimes you go, well, all that seed was wasted, but some of it grew. So what's the message of that parable? It's throw more seed. Just keep throwing the seed, because eventually you're going to hit good soil. Just keep telling people about Jesus. Just keep pointing to Jesus. Not everyone's going to believe you, but some might. Not everyone's going to listen, but some will. Tell everyone, tell the world, tell your story, tell everyone that you know, tell them what he's done for you. Tell them that Jesus is amazing. Tell them that Jesus is amazing. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the example here of John the Baptist, who didn't seek anything for himself. He lived a life of a bit of a weirdo, really, in eating odd food and living in the mountains in camel's coats. And he was just a bit of an odd guy. But yet all he wanted to do was tell people about the Messiah. All he wanted to do was tell people about Jesus. All he wanted to do was say, look, there's the light. He's the best person that you'll ever meet. Follow him. He's the one that's come from God. Listen to him. He's the one that's going to save you. He's the one that's going to baptize you with the Spirit. He's the one that's going to change your life and blow your socks off. Follow him. Listen to him. Lord, I pray that we would take on that example of John the Baptist, and that we would tell everyone that we meet about how wonderful Jesus is. Not worry about what people think about us, but just keep telling people about the amazing and the wonderful Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, our friend, our Lord, our Messiah, our brother. Lord, I pray that you would help us today, tomorrow, the next day, to tell everyone we meet about Jesus. Yeah, we know that some are not going to listen. We know that some are going to think we're a bit odd. But some might listen. And some might be saved, and that would be amazing. All glory to Jesus. So, Father, I pray that you would give us the courage and the boldness to raise up our voice, to lift up our voice in church, where the company is friendly and supportive, that we'd lift up our voices and speak of thanksgiving and wonder and awe and joy in the Lord Jesus. That we'd lift up our voices and give testimony. We'd testify as John did as to what you have done in our lives. Then we go out into the world and do likewise. For some might be saved. Some might be saved. Lord, we thank you that you are amazing. And it's our privilege to sing about you. It's our privilege to sing to you. It's our privilege to speak of you. For you are wonderful. You are amazing. You are our Lord. You are our everything. Help us, Lord, we pray, to raise up our voices and to shout that a little louder, so that the people next to us, our friends, our family, our community, our world might hear about the amazing, the wonderful, the extraordinary, the incomparable Jesus, the Creator and Savior of the world. Amen.